chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. I'm going to look at one verse this evening, just take a thought out of it for just a little bit, and I won't keep you long this evening, I promise you. But I want to reach down through, let's read verses 1 down through verse 10, it'll be fine, I think. The Bible said, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men." We're getting in trouble right here. "And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, 'Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?' And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, 'Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon ye sons of Levi.' And Moses said unto Korah, 'Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that God, the God of Israel, hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also.'" Let's pray for just a minute. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to come again. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd add blessing to the reading of your word this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know this is one place we don't want to stand alone. We need your touch and we need your help. Lord, I pray your will be done, Father. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do and accomplish in Jesus' name and Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to look at a simple thought there from verse 9 where he says, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you." And I want to preach on making light of a big thing. Making light of a big thing. We live in a day and hour when a large number of people are committing great sin, that of the minimizing of certain spiritual truths. Any Christian, no matter what position they may hold in the church, is capable of committing this sin. There again, he says, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you." I believe C.I. Scofield explained the revolt of Korah when he wrote that the gainsaying of Korah was an intrusion into the priesthood, priestly office, an attempt to create a priestly order without divine authority. A person needs to keep in mind when reading the account that Korah and his family had been given the holy responsibility of the most sacred part of the tabernacle worship. Numbers chapter 3, verses 27 to 32, the Bible says, "And of Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzalites, which these are the families of the Kohathites. And the number of all the males from a month old and upward were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites shall be Elizaphan, the son of Uzziel, and their charge shall be the ark and the table and the candlestick and the altars and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister and the hanging and all the service thereof. And Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest shall be chief over the chief of the Levites and have the oversight of them." service. If God has given you a place of service, then be satisfied with it. Don't covet or scheme to have any other place of service except the one that God has given you. Moses rebukes them by saying, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" That word, that small word in the Hebrew language means a light manner, a little thing. You and I all may be guilty of the same sin that Korah committed. If we treat a spiritual big thing like it was a little thing, we're just as guilty as he was. Some kid that gets saved on that comes in and visiting, or someone brings that individual into the house of God. And they get saved. We think that is not as a big thing, but that ought to be a big thing to us when anybody gets saved. Whatever that individual is doing, whatever that individual is accomplishing, but many Christians today are committing the sin, I believe, of Korah. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you. I believe there's three things that we can look at how we as believers today make light matters of major issues in our life. I mean, they were serving. They had a work that God had called them to do, a specific work that they were to accomplish, and it was just as important as that priestly order that Aaron, as when he went in to offer the sacrifices, every office of the Lord where he calls an individual, it don't matter how small it may seem, hey, it's a big thing. If you're in the service of God, whether it's sweeping the floors, whether it's cutting the grass, whatever it might be, hey, it's a big thing to God. But I believe there's some things that we make light of a lot of times, or this world makes light of today, and I hope we're not guilty of that. Number one is the price of salvation. I'm afraid we take for granted, brother, there are a lot of times the price of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, the verses that you'd read mentioned last Sunday and this Sunday, I believe it was, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." There's a lot of people that's going about trying to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to find a way to go to heaven. They're like someone that's on a roundabout. They're going around and around and they never get off. They're looking for the way that they can accomplish a salvation in their life. And a lot of times, folks take the price of salvation lightly. And we take the thing about salvation, that salvation is free, but it never comes cheap. Hey, it cost God the very best that He had. It cost Jesus Christ the very best that He had. His holy blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. And I'm afraid a lot of times, hey, we take it for granted the simplicity of Christ and what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary when He laid down His life willingly and took upon Him my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world. Hey, we take it lightly a lot of times, the price of salvation. We've heard the message, the gospel message so many times, the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. Hey, till we've become immune to it just about. And we don't realize the price that was paid for our salvation. And when we look at the goriness of the death of the cross, hey, we just don't realize how much it cost God to accomplish what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we take that for granted a lot of times. A lot of us have been saved for years and years, and we just took it for granted, hey, that our sins are forgiven. The Bible says, "For God hath made Him," Jesus, "to be sin." Hey, what an accomplishment that He accomplished there on the cross. Hey, when He took the sins of the world and bore them to Calvary, and was that up to ultimate lamb, hey, that was slain before the foundation of the world to take away the sin of the world. Salvation is free, but it never comes cheap. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm glad this evening to know that my sins are forgiven. Hey, I don't have to bring a sacrifice this afternoon to church. I don't have to worry about messing up and losing my salvation. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus accomplished it all. And it's and in the eyes of God, hey, the work is done and it's accomplished. And sinners can plunge beneath that flood, that precious blood of the Lamb of God. That songwriter was doctrinally correct when he wrote, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Don't ever think, hey, that the price of your salvation this evening was a small thing. Hey, we've heard the message so much, hey, that it's become a light thing. That the blood of Jesus that laid His life down some 2,000 years ago, hey, is still just as potent today as it was when He laid His life and gave His life there on the cross. The price of salvation, we can take it lightly sometimes. Hey, we've all experienced the hearing of the gospel many times in our life, and we take that for granted, I'm afraid, a lot of times, and we just make light of the of what we've received as the free gift of God in our lives. Well, I'm glad I'm saved this evening. Hey, I'm glad that I know that I know that I know, hey, that my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven, and it cost God everything. It cost Jesus everything. He left the ivory palaces of glory. Hey, came down here, experienced life as you and I live, yet without sin, and laid down His life for you and I. We take lightly the price of salvation. And then a lot of times we take lightly, number two, the privilege of service. The privilege of service. Hey, the great Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Hey, this wasn't something that Paul just decided that he wanted to do. Hey, there's a lot of preachers that decide today that they want to preach, and they're pretty good orators, and they think, hey, well, I think I'd make a good preacher, and they take on that profession, and they've never received a call. Hey, but the Apostle Paul knew, hey, that there on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, that God did something for him. Hey, the Holy Spirit arrested his heart. Hey, put him on the right road. I mean, he got off of that wrong road and got on the right road, and he realized that Jesus had counted him faithful, putting him in the ministry. Well, to be thankful today if God has called us and put us in the ministry of God. What a blessing it is and the privilege, hey, that it is to be a part of the service of God. Hey, no matter how little we might think, hey, it's a big thing to God this evening. It don't matter what that job is. Hey, what we're accomplishing, hey, it's a big thing to God. Can I say, number one, it's effective. It's an effective service that God has placed us in. Now, Corinium, they might not have thought, hey, that what they were doing was as big of a thing as what Aaron was doing. They wanted to be a part of that bigger work. They wanted to be a part of what Moses was doing. They wanted that privilege and that honor of leading the people. And they said, all the people of God are holy. And they got in trouble. And you read on the story and you'll find out what happened. Hey, after Moses told them what they needed to do, and after the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and how many, hey, the work of God is serious work. It's very serious this evening. A lot of people don't take the work of God and the privilege to serve Him seriously this afternoon. Hey, but it's always been serious to God from the very beginning, and the tabernacle and the things, the people that handled the things of God, it was important then and it's important now. But it's effective this evening as we look around and we see the world that's going to hell. It's effective that we be in the work of God and allow God to use us in what we think is a small thing, but it's a big thing to God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Hey, you may think that what you're doing is ineffective, you're not accomplishing anything, but can I say this evening that whatever it is, if we're doing it for God, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Hey, we're all in the service of God. And what a privilege it is to be a part of that service this evening. Not only is it effective, but hey, it's exciting. The work of God is exciting. Acts chapter 3, verse 8, when Peter and John went up to the temple that day to pray, and they healed that man, the Bible says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. What an exciting time it was for that man that was lame there that sat at the gate of the temple asking alms. And here comes two men just nonchalant going up to the temple to pray, doing what they were supposed to do. Hey, doing what they had been called to do. Hey, to go up there and worship at the time of the day that they went. And we find that this man met someone in his life that changed his life. And it was an exciting time. The most exciting time in our lives when we met Jesus, when He changed our life and when He brought us to a place that He's brought us to and placed us in the body of Christ and to be a part of the service of God. Nothing is more exciting than seeing, hey, someone that's spiritually handicapped that the Lord has touched, walking, shouting, and praising God. And I thank God for everyone that I've seen that was born into the family of God and how God's changed some hearts that man looked at them, said they were useless, they were no account. Hey, but God saved them. He pulled them up out of the horrible pit. Hey, He placed their feet upon a rock, established their going, and now they're going for God and serving Him. Hey, that's exciting. Exciting. And I'm glad that He's still in the work today. The privilege of service is taken lightly a lot of time, but it's effective, it's exciting. And can I say that it's eternal? It's eternal. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The privilege of service, what a blessing that we're going to receive a crown for what we've done if we remain faithful. Hey, if we are looking for Jesus, the chief shepherd, when He comes, if we're looking for Him to come, hey, we're going to receive some crowns, hey, that we'll be able to lay and to throw down at the feet of Jesus. What a blessing it is to know that our service is eternal. That God remembers the little things that we think and look at. Hey, they're not little to Him. They're big things. But then we take lightly the privilege of service. But lastly, this evening we see a big thing that we take for granted a lot of time is the possibility of soul winning. The possibility of soul winning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible said, "For what is our hope, our crown, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" Hey, Paul said, those that we have won, those that we have preached to, those that have trusted Christ, hey, you're our crown of rejoicing, hey, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Have you ever thought about those people that you witnessed to? Maybe someone that's got saved. If you've never won anybody to the Lord, can I encourage you this evening to start praying that God would give you a divine encounter? Hey, that you could witness to someone that would trust Jesus as their Savior. What a blessing it is. I've listened to the soul winning stories of Brother Bear that I've mentioned, and not only Brother Bear, but others. Hey, that tells of men and women and boys and girls that they have witnessed to, that they have told the gospel story, the good news that Jesus died for their sin and was buried and resurrected again the third day, and that individual came to Christ, and they were maybe a life that wasn't worth much seemingly. Hey, but God came into their heart. He did something for them, hey, that eternally changed their life forever. The possibility of soul winning. We don't ever even think about it hardly. We just go through our work, our week. We'll come to the house of God on Sunday and we want to see somebody saved. Hey, but what about when we leave these doors? Do we look for the opportunity that there's someone out there that needs to hear the gospel message? And it may be just be by you or me. If we look for that opportunity, that lone individual, hey, that's lost and on their way to hell, and be able to tell them about Jesus. what a blessing it is to see someone come to know Jesus as their Savior. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If there's ever been a time that we need to get about this matter of soul winning, I think, and the possibility, can I say, of 8 billion people on planet Earth, hey, the majority of those people are lost and on their way to hell. There's no telling. I know we're in the Bible Belt, and it's hard to find anybody down here seemingly that's lost and don't know Jesus as their Savior. Hey, but I promise you, we need to get in this Bible. We need to get on our knees. We need to get before God and pray for our loved ones that are lost without God. Hey, that last Sunday, there were some people here that was lost, and can I say, I don't believe there's a lost person that's ever got saved that somebody didn't get in under a burden for and want to see them and get in heaviness and begin to pray for that individual and seek God for their soul. It's going to take a burden if we experience the possibility of soul winning today. Most people will look at you like a calf looking at a new gate today when you mention Jesus and you mention anything about eternity. Hey, because most people take that lightly in their life. And if there's ever been a time that we, the fields are ripe unto harvest, I believe as we look around, they're ripe. I mean, all of us have family members that are lost. And I know that sometimes that family members are the hardest people there are to reach. They take us for granted. That we're just that old fogey, that old person that calls himself a Christian, a believer. Hey, that's always talking this Jesus talk all the time. And always going to church and don't ever have time to have a good time. Hey, we take a lot of that for granted. A lot of times that, hey, they need Jesus. And they're looking at us through the eyes of the flesh. And they don't understand what we've got. The possibility of soul winning. In our own families. Those that we think are hard. Those that we think is impossible to reach. And we all come into contact with someone that we work with every day. And if there's ever been a time, hey, we take it lightly, hey, the fact that that we could maybe be instrumental in winning that person to Christ. I wonder what would happen if you and I this evening was to get under a real burden for the lost. If we got to looking at men and women as souls, hey, that was on their way to hell. Hey, those individuals that we come into contact with, hey, that we just take it for granted that tomorrow we're going to see them again. We hear of all the time of people that's dying, and a lot of those people that are dying are lost without God. They're going to a devil's hell if somebody don't get the gospel to them. We take it lightly, the possibility of soul winning, of winning that individual to Christ. And that's a big thing to God this afternoon. I believe He's called each and every one of us this evening, hey, to be soul winners. I believe He wants us to be effective in the work of God, in and around the church, outside the church, wherever we may be. We ought to be praying and looking for those opportunities, those divine encounters, hey, that God places in our path from time to time. I wonder, do we really have a burden that we used to? Do we really have a burden about the things of God, the service of God that He's allowed us to be a part of? What a blessing it is to be saved this evening, know our sins are forgiven. Hey, but what a greater blessing it is to realize the privilege of service, hey, that we have to being involved in the work and the things of God. Hey, it's a blessed privilege to be able to even come to church. You know, people take coming to the house of God lightly a lot of times. They just think that it'll always be there. Hey, they think that they'll always have the health to be able to go to the house of God. Church is important, and it's taken lightly today by so many believers and Christians. Probably well-meaning people that are really saved, they take church lightly. They take the possibility of being a soul winner, an effective instrument, hey, that God could use to witness and win someone to Christ. There's someone that everyone can reach. There's someone that everyone comes into contact with that you may be the key to that individual trusting Christ as their Savior. I wonder, I said this other Sunday, I wonder, hey, if we all got under a burden to see people saved and we prayed that God would allow us to witness and win someone to Him before this year's out. I wonder how many people we could have in church. I mean, that's the right way to build a church, is getting the lost saved. That's the right way of soul winning and telling men and women, boys and girls, hey, that they don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. That Jesus loved them and gave Himself for them. Making light of a big thing. It's a big thing. This thing's about over with. As we look around and we see all the signs of the time, and we're not looking for signs, we're looking for Jesus. Hey, but we know that by reading the Word of God, hey, that time is rapidly flying by. Things are we're experiencing things that we never thought we would experience. And the Bible talks about those things. This is setting the stage for the appearing of the Antichrist to come on the scene. And we're not looking for the Antichrist, we're looking for the Christ. We're looking for Jesus to come in the clouds of glory and say, come up hither and we're going to get out of here. Hey, but until He does, hey, the privilege of service and the possibility of soul winning, we don't need to make light of these things in our lives. Being able to live for God and to make a difference in someone else's life. Making light of a big thing. Corinth paid the price. They lost their family. If you read the story, I mean, that whole bunch, hey, the earth swallowed them up. And we used to say Cor and his bunch died and went to hell with their shoes on. Hey, they were priests. They were the priestly order there. They had things that they were doing in the temple worship there, in the tabernacle there, in the wilderness. They had a job to do, and they had a job to accomplish. Hey, but they got bigger than their britches, and they wanted to take upon themselves more. They wanted to take over, and that's what usually happens when people want to take over. They get in trouble. And we find out that God brought judgment upon them. I'm under the persuasion, if you read the Bible, we're a holy priesthood. They were the Levitical order. And those children of Israel that came out under the blood of the lamb that was applied to the lintel and the doorpost there, I believe they come out and they're a picture of salvation, a picture of those that are saved. Now, there was a mixed multitude with that bunch that came out of the land of Egypt. Hey, but I believe those children of Israel are a picture of those that are saved. It's under the blood of the Lamb of God. And we find that there was chastening and judgment that was brought upon them at this time, because they were making light of a big thing. Their position. Their position was just as important. But yet they wanted something bigger. They wanted something better. When in reality they had the best thing for their life. And whatever God's called and allowed us to do in His service, that's the best thing for our life. No matter how small it is, we ought not never make light of a big thing. That's the message this evening. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this evening. We thank You for these that have gathered. Thank You for the songs that we've been able to sing. Lord, we thank You for the instructions that You give us in the Word of God. We realize that everything that You have for us is important. Lord, help us to not make light of a big thing. Something that You called us to do. Something that You want us to accomplish, Lord. Help us to do the best that we can to accomplish what You've allowed us to handle in our lives, Father. Go with us now. Meet back with us on Wednesday evening, and we'll be careful to praise You. Be with those who are unable to be here this evening, Lord. You know the needs of each family. Lord, and I just pray that You supply those needs, Father. We love You, and we thank You again for being in the house of God this afternoon. Have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody got